Australia Institute research shows that the ABC is Australia's most trusted broadcaster. At a time when so-called fake news is at an all-time high, there has never been a greater need for a strong, independent and trusted national broadcaster. As we've seen, the ABC is under more technological and financial and political pressure than ever before. We've seen this most recently with the funding cuts in the latest budget, cuts which Michelle Guthrie has described as a watershed moment for our national broadcaster, Michelle Guthrie being the ABC's CEO or ED, cuts which are Pauline Hanson's dream come true. You might remember that last year she said she wanted to give a whack to the ABC come budget time. Well, it happened. The whack delivered by Minister Fifield was delivered. Between the competitive neutrality inquiry, also a One Nation Party request that has been granted, and the upcoming negotiations for the next triennial funding agreement, what we're looking at is a public broadcaster at the crossroads. So we're all here tonight to talk about the future of the ABC and what we can collectively do to help save it. Where are we going with public broadcasting in Australia? What's at stake and what's under threat?
I thought the Pauline Hanson politics, understanding what's going on with the government and the crossbench, that the Pauline Hanson material was part of the accommodations that had to be made for competitive neutrality and what have you. But I'm still a vile journalist, and I work for an outfit called The New Daily, and I was in the budget lockup, budget paper number 2, page 79, and then I saw that in the communications department that they were going to impose what they called a pause on indexation of the ABC's operational funding. And this says that this will result in savings to the budget of $83.7 million over 3 years. And when I read that, I thought, my God, that is punitive. The savings resulting from these efficiencies will be redirected to other communications and the arts portfolio priorities and to broader budget repair. So that must mean that it was within the Minister, Mitch Fifield's remit to do that. Rather than the full expenditure review committee of the cabinet. So it's within the departmental appropriation. $83.7 million is, and they keep saying about the ABC gets $1 billion a year, but you have to take off the transmission costs of that. That's about $174 million a year, according to the annual report. So the ABC budget's about $856,000, and in the Senate estimates, other things that you should be aware of, my sources for this are the ABC Chief Financial Officer. Sorry, I can't read with the light here. ABC defunding, $14.6 million 2019-20, $27 million 2021, $41 million, 21-22. On top of that, there's a concern. Your meal is ready, sir. on top of that, there's real concern in the ABC about $43 million in tied funding on specialist and regional reporting. That'll come up next year. The ABC has been now starting to think seriously from board level onwards about what it should do. The board's meant to be independent, appointed by government, it's meant to be independent, and today for the first time we saw Justin Milne, the chairman, come out with an article, and that was reassuring. Not about attacking the government on these, what I call the indicia of hostility, but on the immediate threat, which is the competitive neutrality. Which has been set up by Pauline to look at. What you all need to understand is that the commercial operators are so concerned about the ABC's success in online. If you a lot of people are getting their news, accessing the news on mobile phones and tablets online. News Corp, news.com is still up at number one. Number two sometimes is Fairfax. Others, Guardians down there, ABC sometimes number two. and it's almost dangerously too successful, because the commercial operators are in the ear of Malcolm and Mitch saying they're really stuffing us up out because it's all free. Guardian is free. The real concern about media with the transition to online. So Justin Milnes made a statement today which is really reassuring about the rights of the ABC to be in the online space as well. The Act has changed, and now digital news gathering and digital content is part of the ABC's remit. The other things, just briefly, the competitive neutrality, we mentioned that. There's also an efficiency review. There's been about haven't got the exact figures here, but there have been substantial number of efficiency reviews over the years. The ABC, since Tony Abbott said in 2013 that there'd be no cuts to the ABC and SBS, 1,000 staff have been made redundant. They've been pulled back on all sorts of regional content creation. There's been a total of $338 million from operational funding over the last since 2014. This is now quite clearly established. So, as Ben said, we've got the triennial funding coming up after the next election. I don't think it'll be whenever Malcolm calls the next election. Triennial funding is in play. So there's a very serious. I didn't think we'd be in this case here now. There's very serious concern about the survival of the ABC, particularly with all the other media and Google and Facebook the transition of television in particular with video streaming. So there's threats all over the place for public broadcasting in Australia from other content providers.
Thank you for the gloomy start, Quinton. but we're here to spark off a night to do something about it, and we need to know the state of play.
I would like to point out that where are we at? I think there are three things that categorise and adequately describe what is happening to the ABC in the media landscape. The first is that this government has been attacking and successfully attacking media diversity in Australia. It's almost exactly a year ago that Malcolm Turnbull stood up with all the bigwig commercial media executives to say that the 2 out of 3 rule, which did protect media diversity in Australia, that it was essential to repeal this in order to have the survival of the commercial media in Australia. That was almost exactly a year ago. And they used that as the argument to push not only for repeal of that law, but also to sell part of the deals that they were doing as connected to this, and some of them Quinton alluded to. Not only is it about the 2 out of 3 rule being repealed, we've had community TV being booted off the air before getting adequate time to establish itself on an online platform. We've also seen an undermining of the ABC in terms of its important role, and the notion that they should be reduced to some sort of market failure broadcaster. But I think the reality is now more than ever, when we know that convergence is happening, when we know that there is this shift to online, now more than ever we need a strong national public broadcaster. And certainly we need a strong public broadcaster in the SBS as well. But the ABC is really coming up against it and being challenged by this very clear agenda of this government, where you've got a minister who's a member of the IPA, who clearly, and this is my second point, this government being beholden to vested interests. You only have to look also as part of this deal about undermining media diversity to see that $30 million of yours and my money was gifted, uncontested, to Fox Sports as part of this media deal. $30 million, and yet they can manage to cut $84 million in this budget. The third thing I will note is that I think this is part of the undermining of important Australian institutions. We know that we live in a time when people have never been more cynical of politics and never had less trust and faith in the political system. And in all of this, we've seen the government reject the Banking Royal Commission and then take it up for political purposes. We've seen them reject the notion of a federal ICAC. We've seen this erosion of trust. And again, more than any other time, it's important to have strong public institutions like the ABC not only supported, but actually have a roadmap for how they can be built up and enhanced for the future. And yet we're in this situation where, as Quentin said, in 2013, Tony Abbott, staring down the barrel of a camera the night before the election, explicitly promising no cuts to the ABC. And then in his first budget, something in the order of $250 million in cuts. It's very clear, and the ABC clearly has what looks like a toxic relationship with the government, and that is unfortunate. It's unfortunate for our public institutions as a whole. And, you may well ask, and very validly, well, Michelle, what are you going to do about it? Well, I think the first thing to note is that there's two sides, two elements to this. We do have the issue of the cuts, which does need to be addressed, but we also have the issue of this ongoing war on the ABC through parliamentary processes and departmental processes and legislative processes. We've got the efficiency review, as Quentin said. You know, at least Malcolm Turnbull, when he was communications minister, he did all these efficiency reviews, or one of many, and then cut the ABC's funding, which we obviously don't agree with. This minister does it the other way around. He cuts the funding, then does an efficiency review. So I don't know whether that's foretelling that augurs poorly for more cuts in future, but it certainly does not augur well. And at the same time, we've got three bills on the agenda, again, part of this Hanson deal, including rural and regional, which is supposedly the Nats standing up for the ABC. I haven't heard a peep out of any of them to be standing up for the ABC. But the hypocrisy to say we're going to cut your funding, but we expect you to do more in regional Australia, really beggars belief. You know, since the budget cuts up until this time, we've had shortwave radio shut down in the Northern Territory, which mightn't sound important to the people in this room, but to the cattlemen of the Territory, it is vitally important. We've got a bill about disclosure of certain salaries at the ABC, which the ABC itself has said they won't comply with a request to disclose salaries because it would actually be against the law because the Privacy Act forbids them from doing it, and yet the government is pushing ahead with this. And we've got, again, a Pauline Hanson-inspired requirement to insert fair and balanced rules into the ABC's operations, which, again, when directly asked by from One Nation senators, what does this mean? Does this mean giving equal time to anti-vaxxers? The answer was, oh, yeah, sure. Well, what next? Equal time to neo-Nazis and racists? So, look, I think on all these points, it's not just about funding, although obviously that is clearly important and there are consequences of cuts, but it's about this legislative agenda that the government's got going. The very last thing I will say is I'm very heartened by the support that we see here because, something like nearly 4 years ago or so, I was part of what became a really important grassroots campaign that we thought had no chance, and it was being run by everyone in the right-wing media and right-wing interests, and that was about abolishing Section 18C of the Racial Discrimination Act, which was, they argued, look, it's not needed, it needs to go, it's infringing freedom of speech. I went around Australia, as did many other people, letting people know about this and really helping to drive this as a grassroots movement. We were part of that. As Labor, we were proud to be part of that. We never thought that we would get such a wide amount of support. And the day Tony Abbott stood up and said, we are dropping this push to abolish 18C of the Racial Discrimination Act, that was a victory for people. So I am now firmly convinced that this movement to support the ABC as a trusted Australian institution, we can win this. I firmly believe we can win this. This isn't just us, you know, me and Sarah as politicians just telling you what you already know. This movement makes a difference, and it is starting here tonight, and I thank the Australia Institute, and there are many other sectors who are part of this, including the CPSU and the MEAA, and I firmly believe that if we keep this up, we can end up making a difference.
Well, this is the biggest microphone I've had in front of me in about 6 months or so. And look, can I just say, it's lovely to talk to lots of you again, because I've genuinely missed that very much. Look, change is inevitable. As Quentin and Michelle have both said, all sorts of things that the ABC is doing are absolutely important for it to do. Certainly the digital change is vital. It's unthinkable that an organisation, a major media organisation, would not have that momentum. There are all kinds of other things happening. We in Canberra were part of what was called the Canberra Project, which was about streamlining news and radio, for example. And that's a fine and a fair enough thing, that there's not a duplication of effort. If there is a greater investment in investigative journalism, then I'm very happy with that too. I think that's a really central and important function of the ABC. But I think that the changes that are being imposed because of this extraordinarily fraught political situation have actually led, from my perspective as someone most recently inside the doors, to an extraordinary amount of flux and uncertainty and twisting and turning within ABC management. So to the question, you know, whither, auntie, I think it's actually genuinely very difficult to know, because decisions are being made within the structure that seem absolutely inexplicable. And I think that's partly a result of the enormous amount of political pressure, the feeling that if they don't measure up to someone's standards, goodness knows who, then it's the evisceration of the corporation as a whole. But from within that change process, lots of people came down from Ultimo with a lot of butcher's paper, and there are a lot of very long lunchtime meetings. And I don't think anyone that was a participant in any of those meetings would be any clearer from the workers' point of view as to what the ultimate purpose of all that actually was. And that bespeaks to me a huge amount of uncertainty and indeed fear within the ABC. I think the other thing that's a critically difficult factor is that the ABC is, in my view, in the process of rupturing trust with its community. And that's a consequence, of the cuts, but of also of the ABC's response in trying to meet the kind of pressures that the likes of Pauline Hanson put on it, in responding in a way that strips out resources from local radio, from local regional communities, then the very foundations on which the ABC is grounded of community, balance, integrity and fairness are threatened at their heart. So I think these are indeed perilous times.
I grew up in the bush and...
Me too.
All we had was the ABC radio. There was no television reception. And I grew up as an ABC kid. My dad had 4 radios throughout the property. You couldn't walk from the front gate into the house, through the back and back to the back shed and miss a news bulletin. It was just on 24/7, never turned off. And living in that isolated community, I felt totally connected to the rest of the world. And that is the power of the ABC. And so, yeah, it is amazing that we actually have this public resource and this public institution. I talked to my dad about, now being in Parliament and debating with the minister, and he says, you know, tell him to get his hands off my ABC. And I think people love it because they believe what they hear, they trust it. The Australian people know they own it, and they're proud of it as an institution. And at a time when politics has become so despairing for so many, whether it's fake news, whether it's the Murdoch press, whether it's lying politicians, and people don't like us, they want to know that when they turn on the television, look at their app, or turn on the radio, that what they hear from the ABC is actually what is going on. They also love the fact that the ABC backs local content, Australian stories, stories that no one else would make. And I've sat there over the last few months listening to the assault on the ABC and the SBS, to be frank, from the commercial broadcasters who complain and whine and whinge that they can't compete. Well, maybe you should do things a bit better. Maybe you should actually put some effort into the content that you're creating. In this competitive neutrality review, sounds like a fancy name. Really what it means is cutting and clipping the wings of the ABC and SBS. They don't like, these commercial broadcasters don't like the fact that ABC iView and SBS On Demand are incredibly popular. In order to make it competitively neutral, they'd like to see things like a paywall on iView. Imagine that. We've already paid our taxes in order to fund the public broadcaster and the public institution, and then we've got the commercial broadcasters and those out who want to clip the wings of the ABC who can't compete because their content's not as good. No one trusts the news that comes from them, or they have to have a question mark over whether they can or they can't. And then these guys want to make it even harder for the public to access what is already the content created by their public broadcaster, our public broadcaster. We've already paid for it. We pay for it with our taxes. Of course, at a time when politics is so despairing to so many and there is a desperation for honesty in politics, you'd think that the last thing politicians would want to do is cut the one institution that people believe and have faith in. Like, it would be in our interest as politicians to ensure that the ABC was well-funded, independent and strong. But of course, the whole reason this is happening is not just because of budget cuts and, you know, strains on the budget. It's about priorities, and the assault on the ABC, make no mistake of it, is ideologically driven. Ideologically driven. It comes from right from Tony Abbott right through to Pauline Hanson and all the cronies in between. Pauline Hanson, Ben said before in the opening that, you know, she went on Bolt's show, Andrew Bolt. Remember him? I'm not sure anyone else watches the show but One Nation and Liberal staffers. But she went on that show and she said she wanted to whack hundreds of millions of dollars off the ABC, and she talked to the Treasurer about it for this year's budget. She didn't quite get hundreds of millions, but she did get close. She got $84 million and counting. And counting. Because what we've got coming down the line is a full-blown assault on the public broadcaster. It is absolutely ideologically driven. And Pauline Hanson is driving this because she's got a personal vendetta. She doesn't like the reporting that the ABC does on the truth of what's going on. She doesn't like they've caught her out over and over again, and she wants to play that ideological battle. So we've got to do everything we can to protect and save our ABC. We've got to get those funding cuts restored. And question to you, Michelle. I think we've got to make sure we restore it. $340 million over the last 5 years have been cut from the ABC. I want it returned. Whoever wins the next election should return it straight away. And we do, and I absolutely agree with Michelle, that this needs to be a grassroots movement and a rising up of the audience and the people around this country who love this public institution. You know who you are. They're far and wide. Whether it's because you listen to Radio National and you can't fathom waking up without listening to Fran Kelly, or whether you turn on the ABC news at night because you want to know what's going on, or indeed you're a busy parent and you want to have a safe space when you're cooking the dinner at the end of the day to plonk your kid down and know that what is going to be on the ABC Kids channel, whether it's on the television or on the tablet, is a safe place. That is what we need to protect, and that is what is at stake, and we need the movement to get it going.
I'm going to open up by asking a slightly different question, and Genevieve went to some of it, and I know a number of you are here to help save the ABC, but I also wanted to start by asking any of you who'd like to answer, what do we need to fix the ABC? Because it's not perfect, and it's making mistakes, and it's doing some things, and it's moving in some directions that some of us don't like from time to time. What do we need to not just save the ABC, but to save it from itself? What are the worrying trends itself is following? What do we need to do to fix the ABC? I might start again with you, Quinton.
The ABC is a flawed institution, for sure. and you can tell its flaws because most people react positively or negatively to it. What do we need to fix? I think the content, the distinctive content across the genres and in commissioning and innovation and risk-taking, because it's been so browbeaten through funding, of course, but also in politically, because Michelle Guthrie is having to manage the place down, not up. It's much easier if you've got some income coming in, whether it's private sector or public sector. So it's designing innovative risk-taking content which engages the audience. And for... Look, you could halve the operational costs of the ABC if you simulcast everything out of Sydney. But that's not what they were there for. And the cuts to regional services, the networking in radio, the emphasis, the strategic emphasis on online, because everybody, all the young people are moving to digital and trying desperately to be there for them, because the ABC won't have a future unless we're accessing young people by those devices. But for broader political support, it's in the content and the fearlessness of the journalism. And thank heavens Adele Ferguson and the Four Corners had helped us to lead to the Royal Commission into banking services through wonderful investigative journalism. Only in the last, because of the Emma Alberici and the Andrew Proben cases, has the ABC, I've discerned, started to get its backbone up. Only in the last couple of days, and I think there's a change in the politics inside the organisation, that if they didn't show the backbone and leadership necessary, they're going to go down. And as my colleagues on the panel said, it's the trust element. Once that trust is destroyed, people say, what's the use of the ABC? So trust, content, as usual.
Anybody open up to any panellists? You don't have to answer. We'll have lots of questions.
So. I'd say it. One of the things that surprises me is how often the morning news and current affairs shows follow what's on the front page of The Australian. Mm. And it's self-defeating.
Look, you could have a seminar about Murdoch distortions, and maybe we should, but one of the reasons I support the ABC is because, as a journalist, I've witnessed and endured Murdoch distortions all from my time in Queensland. Mm-hmm. But Rupert's a free agent. We've got freedom of the press in Australia, and it has to be dealt with.
Yeah, and look, I think we've got great journalists right across this country who work for the ABC, and we should be supporting them in being able to report news, break news and do investigative journalism. One of the things that strikes me about this whole kind of war on the ABC and this idea that somehow they're getting an unfair advantage, what other broadcaster would have a Four Corners program? No one. And the issues that they report on and investigate.
Well, Sunday night's got Barnaby Joyce.
The ABC can't afford $150,000. That's the problem.
Look, I think there is currently within the ranks of the ABC, as I said, this tortured uncertainty about how to respond to the pressures that are on them. I think in the midst of the undoubtedly extremely important pivot towards digital, there's also a fundamentally quite misguided belief that the way to get there is to basically abandon anyone over 45. Mm. And I really think that there's a very strange thing going on inside the ABC with regard to that there's a belief that the rusted on listeners will stay no matter what. And that there's a kind of hewing towards a social media kind of grammar in the way that the ABC carries out its news and analysis these days. You know, we get sort of things like five things we learned about Vladimir Putin, that kind of thing, as if social media is the template for serious analysis. I think that's patronising to younger people, actually. I think that there's no necessity to do that. And I think that the ABC really is at risk of losing some of its commitment to excellence and intelligence if they don't have a fundamental look at what makes the ABC's coverage distinctive, rather than following along from the front page of The Australian, following along on the latest trends that are sort of existing in other spheres of the media, but to find its own distinctive path of excellence and quality, which also respects its listeners.
Thank you.
Ben, I'm actually in two minds about how to answer your question, because firstly, as a Member of Parliament and someone who's seeking to be the Communications Minister, I value the independence of the ABC. I think editorialism by politicians can be a very dangerous thing. I have often said, because people ask me, why don't you step into this debate or that debate, including, the date of the Triple J Hottest 100. And I said, I don't want to be Labor's version of Erica Betts. I actually respect that the ABC is independent. It's independent from all of us. Mm. But I do think there is a big question. And that is, where does the ABC not only fit in the new media environment, but what is its roadmap and its strategy for the new media environment? And I know it's probably thought about these things, but this is the kind of thing, we're going to have an inquiry into the ABC. That's the kind of inquiry that I think would actually be worthwhile. And I think that's a very valid question. I mean, it is true. Commercial media is struggling with changing advertising revenues, which was once their rivers of gold. And equally, the ABC is not immune to a lot of the other pressures that come from having an increasingly online news environment. Now, question whether a lot of that is news. I think the argument that the government advanced in the 2 out of 3 repeal, for example, that we don't need these media controls because of the internet. Well, the internet is there, but you actually need skills to be able to investigate, report, present, and evaluate. So if I did have to answer, sort of one thing that I think would be useful, Quentin talked about the importance of investigative journalism, and I apologise for being New South Wales Sydney-centric in this comment, but I actually think that, we did have Stateline when you were around Quentin, but there is an absolute lacuna now when it comes to deep state political reporting. Now and then you'll get a few grabs about what's happening, but I definitely think there's a correlation between the billions of dollars that seem to be going wrong with Sydney's light rail system, with its stadiums, with its designs for major roads, taking up, going through people's lands, and we're only finding this stuff out after the fact. I think if there was more scrutiny at the time and continuous scrutiny of state government decisions, then we would actually have better government decision making. And I think it would be an interesting, I'm not asking the Australia Institute to do it, but I think it would be quite an interesting research project to have a look at some of the waste and mismanagement that's been going on at a state level and see how that correlates with the level of political reporting that's been done. Because quite frankly, all we seem to be getting now is after-the-fact exposés on the cover of the Herald saying, oh, look, something bad here has happened and it's gone haywire.
Reactionary.
I think that it can certainly be improved in that respect and be more proactive rather than reactive.
I'll tell you what, Michelle, if you think that there is a dearth of state politics coverage, you should try being in regional Australia. Mm-hmm. The coverage there is non-existent, absolutely non-existent. In this region, for example, stretching from probably 200 k's north of here to 200 k's south of here and encompassing the whole southeastern region, there is now no rural reporter. There is no, and there hasn't been for years, because the rural reporter was reallocated to Parliament House and that just suddenly didn't matter any longer. For the hundreds of thousands of people who are inextricably tied to regional Australia and its economy and the decision...
And live outside of Parliament House.
Exactly. So that's just, New South Wales state politics, regional politics, utterly unreported.
Think about Townsville and Cairns and Rockhampton and Mackay and Western Australia.
Mm. Hi, my question is to the Shadow Minister. Do you think there's enough concern in the community for the future of the ABC to be a capital I issue at the next federal election? If not, why not? If you do, when is Labor going to announce its approach to the ABC, for example, whether or not you will reverse at least the freeze in funding announced at the budget?
No, sure. I think it is going to be a capital I issue, but I think that that will only happen if there is if we push it, and if we those of us who support the ABC, and I know it's not only Labor, it's a number of other people in the Parliament, including the Greens, who support the ABC. But I think the key is making it much more of that grassroots movement that I mentioned. I also think it's incumbent on individual members and senators to be pushing this, because whilst it, you know, I don't think it's that issue that people will come up to you and say, you know, it's their number one, two, you know, and three. I think certainly if you get into conversations with people, people value, you know, I'm from Western Sydney, and some people, you know, might take this stereotypical view of, well, what do you care about the ABC? I can tell you I've got a very young, you know, one of the youngest electorates, and being a mum of two small kids myself, if I didn't have iView, which I know is to be a safe platform for my kids, there are times I don't know what I do, you know, because it is such a valuable and safe resource. In terms of the funding question, we have been in discussions with the ABC because they're looking at the impact of these cuts. They're looking to prepare their submission to the next triennial funding review as well. And I'm in very close discussion, not only with our finance spokespeople, but also with Bill Shorten. Bill feels very passionately about this. And I can tell you it's not lost on anyone on our side of the Parliament that there is an expectation that we will stand up for the ABC, and it is a well-founded one. I'll end by saying, look, I think there's one of the clear distinctions between us and our opponents is, you know, on their side we have, you know, Nats now and then who, you know, they give lip service to how important the ABC is for regional areas, and some of them might actually believe it. But many of their caucus does not. And I think the difference is that our caucus is 100% supportive of the ABC and dismayed by these cuts. So I can assure you that we're in very active discussions at the moment, not only about this latest round of funding, but also the reality is the ABC does need to be strengthened. It's not just about restoring cuts, it's about strengthening them financially for long-term viability, and it's also about sticking up for them for those legislative and ideological approaches that are happening right now, bills that are in the Parliament right now, and inquiries that are going on right now.
I think you can actually see the fault lines in the coalition as to where the support for the ABC lies. I have certainly had a conversation with one senior federal cabinet minister who said, there are people in the Liberal Party who do value the ABC, who want to stick up for the ABC, but where does the political power, Hugh? Where is the balance in who needs to be satisfied and whose demands need to be met? And that's a fundamental question. So,
well, Sarah? I was going to say, and I think that actually leads straight into what happens after the next election, because whether Labor wins or not, you know, if Turnbull stays there or Bill Shorten's elected as Prime Minister, if Pauline Hanson and One Nation continue to hold a balance of power in the Senate, this attack on the ABC is going to continue. And we need to make sure that in the Senate there is a very strong voice supporting our public broadcasters and making sure that we hold whoever is elected to account. But actually, you know, if Labor are going to commit to reversing those cuts and even going further, that would be fantastic. But you're going to need the Greens and others in there to make sure we can do that, because it's going to have to be a joint effort. A joint effort to stop the assault and a joint effort to restore the funding, support and integrity.
Given the prevalence of so-called fake news and its role in manipulating election outcomes, shouldn't we be making the case that protecting and boosting the ABC is a national security issue? Is this point being highlighted adequately in lobbying efforts to reinstate ABC funding?
Well, it is. The trouble is in the funding cuts, the fact-check unit, which had about five or six graduate researchers, did very good work in the sense of pulling all the politicians' words and all the contentious issues.
I only ever got a correct, by the way, for the record.
Thank you. But it had was really value-adding, particularly in an age of Murdoch distortion and vilification of the ABC.
Essential.
And personal targeting of individual journalists and programs that go on, to an extreme extent. You know, of course, we journalists have got to be accountable, and we are to the public generally. But they knocked off the fact-check unit, and that there was the Drum, which was published text media curated by Chip Rolley, a wonderful editor. They knocked that off. We're talking about trust. That was a great addition, value-adding to the taxpayer dollars. ABC journalists would be asked to do analysis pieces and general reporting for that. That was highly damaging. So on national security, that's a broader concept, because you can't have national security unless you have institutional strength within the democracy, with an independent judiciary and a free media. That's the arguments we are going to have to put up. It's not necessarily coming out of the mouths of ABC leadership at the moment, because they think it's too political. They will make the case about triennial funding, but they won't. I don't think they'll use rhetoric about absolute pillar of democracy to have a mainstream public broadcaster. In the United States, PBS is niche, does some wonderful work, but it's niche, and it's been ground down by both the Democrats and the Democrats support it more than the Republicans, of course. We do not want that. The ABC in television, I think, has still got about 17% of the audience in television, and across the radio networks has got about 22%. That's mainstream. I'd like it to be higher. It's mainstream. It has an influence, and its programming goes very well. Online is just politically a bit too successful now because of the transformation to digital access by young people in particular. But you've got to keep the ABC in the mainstream. If you crush to niche, it falls away. Public support falls away, particularly in regional Australia as well, which is the greatest political strength of the ABC is in its regional, such as it is, such as it is.
You quoted those figures of the reach in terms of 22%. And
it's actually 50% in Canberra. 50% of Canberrans listen to ABC radio in some form.
And I think the ABC have crunched their figures themselves, but that jumps enormously at a time of crisis. So when there is something, when there's a bushfire, when there's the rolling of a prime minister, if people turn onto the ABC, and more ABC online on their telephone, because they can do it wherever they are on their smartphone.
The CFO Louise Higgins said, Senate estimates, ABC is not funded for emergency broadcasting, but takes it as an obligation, resourced but reliant on extra effort and long hours by ABC staff. 280 emergency call-outs since last July.
And there is no greater service than you can do to the community. We know this, don't we? Anyone who was here in 2003 for the bushfires? Absolutely. The Kawala fires most recently, when there's an emergency, it is a default setting to turn to the ABC for reliable, informed and educated analysis of what's going on. At the time I was about to lose my job, the New South Wales Rural Fire Brigade were playing a Facebook video taken from a fire truck of me broadcasting. As a training mechanism. That's because the ABC plays an integral role at the heart of the community in that way. And so that aspect of security, it's not necessarily national security, but it's community security, is something that is integral to the ABC's role.
Yeah, good point.
I support Michelle's call for a grassroots movement. And I feel that one of the things to include, though, is to encourage people to hear about what is good about the ABC and to ask people what's good about the ABC. But it is also important to ask people about, as you said earlier, what ways to fix the ABC, not fix, to make it better or to make it us own it a bit more, what we really value. And I think we've got all ages in society, and one of the things I noticed regard older people, and there's a lot of us are getting older, this particularly related to my mother, who was an elderly lady. I used to come home from work to see her, and she'd say, "Oh, why is there so many awful things happening in the world, you know?" And I'd say, "Mum, look, for every awful thing you see on TV, there are millions of fabulous things happening in the world." You know, I said, "We just don't see it because the TV, you know, does sensational things to try and get people..."
Nature of journalism is to expose all the ugliness of the world and from everything, yeah.
However, there can be a little bit of balance. I noticed the ABC used to have this little clip with a lady with some pink in her hair that used to give you these little good news story vignettes. And I think...
Gardening Australia.
Well, it's Gardening Australia, but I don't think... Well, what I'd like to us to avoid is get into some vapid sort of things about cooking and Love Islands and, you know, don't go down that track just to sort of...
You don't like any more cooking shows. You're over them.
Right? Annabelle Crabb will be deeply disappointed.
But I ended up, when my daughter was young, putting the Win local TV on for her around when I was cooking, because it did have some more local, and you talk about regional, and I think local things that are happening to ordinary people that are good, rather than just the massive devastating things. But I think as part of that grassroots movement, I'm asked, well, it's not really a question, it's saying to bring people in to talk about what they value.
The question is, how do you get a grassroots movement going on the basis of enhancing the ABC's services?
Okay. Look, madam, I think your point's very well made, because whilst we've been largely taking up the discussion tonight and it's the nature of this forum, I think people are more readily... more ready to be involved when they are asked to give their opinion on why things are good and how things can be improved. And, you know, that's a fundamental job of, you know, basically being a Member of Parliament, but thank you for highlighting that. But I think as you were talking, it also brought to mind another issue of people, a cohort that don't get asked enough, and that's young people, especially children. And I think children greatly value the ABC. We had recently the only children's run newspaper, Crinkling News, shut down. And I think now more than ever, we should make sure that children are learning critical thinking. They're learning that they don't have to believe everything that's on the internet. They're learning how to distill their opinions. Behind the News, I know even when I was watching that as a kid, did a great job in that space. But your point is most salient, because I think it also highlights that we should be speaking to people who don't have a vote or a voice in most cases. So thank you.
One of the things that I think is absolutely critically concerning about the current state of affairs is the stripping back of ABC resources and local knowledge from local ABC. And I think makes it extraordinarily difficult for us to generate momentum when many people are actually really disenchanted with the lack of that granular local knowledge and local connection. And that's what's going. That is absolutely what's going.
Just wanted to quickly ask, Sarah has mentioned challenge that we should increase the 300,000 or 300 million from last time and bring it forward and just throw it back in, the ABC funding. Is there any actual analysis that's been done as to whether how Australia compares to a similar sized sort of developed nation in terms of their public broadcasters funding, and actually looking at whether like an increase back to the pre-Abbott years ABC funding is justified from an economic standpoint? I'd just be keen to hear everyone's thoughts, and specifically Michelle, as to whether any thoughts have been given to whether the current ABC funding is underfunded, and is that a factual thing, or is it just a feeling that we have?
No, that's right, and it is a question about funding specifically for Michelle Rowland. When the government announced that its income tax cuts in the budget, it took Labor 2 days to commit to matching the first tranche of those income tax cuts, and indeed to exceed it. So why is it that you can't tell this audience tonight whether or not Labor would reverse not just these cuts, but the cuts that were made under Tony Abbott?
my source is Louise Higgins, the Chief Financial Officer. But how do we compare to other public service broadcasters overseas? Our per capita funding is 34% lower than the average of other public service broadcasters, including the BBC. In fact, we service a population that is one-third the size of the UK, with one-eighth of the funding of the BBC. Back in 1987, your ABC famously cost each Australian 8 cents a day. In 1987 dollar terms, we now cost each Australian just 4 cents a day. In other words, our per capita funding has halved in real terms. But this is the important thing. Technology people have saved the ABC. And if Wayne Swan's still here, he's one of my heroes, because after the GFC as Treasurer, he increased funding to the ABC. And I know how hard that is in whatever expenditure review committee with deficit management going. That's allowed Mark Scott to transform the ABC to be a major digital player, almost to the point of too much success in that term. Louise said, but we've managed to do a lot with our few cents a day. We've added multiple new television, radio and digital platforms. ABC Kids, for a start. We have increased our investment in quality Australian programming. In fact, for the money spent by Netflix on just two series of House of Cards, the ABC funded no less than 50 quality Australian programs, including 24 drama series.
I think the other... Quentin's... covered the comparative institutions from other countries. But I think the other thing to point out when you start talking about comparisons is this government likes to make comparisons with the BBC when it comes to issues like salary disclosure and arguing that it goes to issues of gender and so forth. I think, as the ABC itself has pointed out, that's not comparing apples and apples. The BBC actually does have people who feature on their networks who are actually paid multiple millions of pounds, and that's very unlike what the ABC has. But to your point, and sir, thank you for your question about why has Labor been taking its time to examine this issue. Well, with respect, we actually had our income tax policies and our corporate tax policies formulated quite some time ago. We only found out about these budget cuts on budget night, like everyone else. We are in the process of engaging with the ABC about its triennial funding process. And as you'll be aware, when you add up all those cuts that have happened since 2014, and as the other gentleman pointed out, the question of the ABC hasn't come to us saying, look, we need this full amount. This is what we need now. We need this full amount restored immediately. The way that ABC funding is done is on this triennial basis. But, sir, I can assure you that we are looking at this very closely. It is a top priority for myself. We are a responsible opposition, but I can, as Quentin said, we've actually got a good track record of supporting and increasing funding to the ABC from being in government in the past. And again, we are guided by not only economic realities but also principles when it comes to this. It really does mean something that our caucus is 100% united behind ensuring the ABC functions properly as an independent broadcaster. And we are examining this very closely, and we'll make our position known on that hopefully very soon.
You're a stateswoman.
Look, on what Quentin said about the BBC, that's certainly absolutely true about the funding. That's the licence fees for you. That is the essential fundamental difference. There is another public broadcasting model in a Commonwealth country that's radically different, and that's the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. And the big difference there is limited commercial advertising.
And we've won that argument. The commercials support the ABC and not taking advertising. Mm.
But just that's the warning flag in some ways, is that's the other model, and it's not on the primary networks in CBC, but they have run it on their secondary networks for quite some time, and I think that's a completely different public broadcaster.
And we haven't got time to talk about SBS, but SBS has been led down the commercial path, and it's dangerous and damaging to SBS. Mm. Mm.
Yes, the last thing we want is ads on the ABC. I think part of the and I mentioned this already, that the pressure that's being coming on the government and on the ABC and SBS as a result of this competitive neutrality review. What the people who want the ABC to be reined in, they don't like the digital stuff, they don't like that ABC iView is incredibly popular, or that SBS On Demand can happen to get the Handmaid's Tale that, you know, people watch and has now become a cult following. They don't like that, so they either want to restrict the ability for our public broadcasters to do the good digital work and reach, or they argue that as the public we should pay for that too. So watch out, there is going to be a push for a paywall on iView, and I, for one, am not going to stand it. We absolutely need to make sure we protect our public broadcaster as a public service. It should be free, it should be independent, and it needs to be strongly supported through funding.
Yeah.